And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
The good news is that oil prices are on the decline. Today, falling 84 cents a barrel to $69.68. It's a slippery slope we're riding on, and Americans are feeling it. Today, we hear exactly what they have to say as we talk with Ann Smith in Maine, and Ann Smith in Utah, and Ann Smith in Minnesota. As a matter of fact, it's Ann Smith Day across America and around the world when the Wild Side News continues. Stay tuned.
USA in your Chevrolet, America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA, America's the greatest land of all. On a highway or a road along a levee, performance is sweeter, nothing can beat her. Life is completer in a Chevy. So make a date today to see the USA and see it in your Chevrolet.
Travel and ease. Traveling west.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
This last weekend, I drove from San Diego to Mesa, Arizona to be with my mom and other members of my family over Mother's Day. The cost of gas for that trip was $126 to go 800 miles. I could have flown for $125 round trip. But money was not my only consideration. I had the chance to drive through the high desert outside of San Diego, then across the flat expanse through Yuma, and then up to Phoenix and Mesa. I'm a driver. I love to hop in my car and drive cross-country, or up-country. America, family, cars, vacations, they're all tied together in our mythic past. Ask almost anyone, and they have memories of driving with their family or friends off on a road adventure. The long trips were broken up by the need to retank, fill her up. Gas was the least concern for the traveler. I remember a time I left San Francisco in a Volkswagen van with $19 in my pocket, and I made it to Minnesota with a few cents to spare. This challenge of gas prices just may be one of our first intergenerational challenges, as the MTVners have to face that gas pump just like the rest of us. And it's let the air out of their tires as well. Today's show is dedicated to all of us, as seen through the eyes of Ann Smith. Ann Smith lives in Maine, and she lives in Massachusetts. She's in Minnesota, Utah, and Washington. And today, we hear from Ann Smiths from across the nation on how these record-high gas prices are affecting them. It's another chance for the real voice of the earth to be heard, as it is each week here on the Wild Side News. So, following this week's news, it's a special dedication show to Ann Smith. So first, the news. Bolivia's foreign minister repeated President Evo Morales' proclamation to take back their various nature industries, nationalizing control of land, timber, silver, and water. In various corners of the earth, people and nature are being forced to unite their sacred bonds. Many experts are predicting that this will not be the last such move by indigenous-friendly leaders, and may in fact be the beginning of a more widespread movement to regain national sovereignty, a move in direct contradiction to globalization. The new competition now in the nature industries is forcing the planet into a forced reformation. An idea that has seemed a bit corny for some time is quickly becoming the hottest commodity on the market. It's ethanol, and almost overnight, everyone likes corn. Although Brazil has been developing their ethanol economy for 20 years, somehow the story managed to evade the American public, until now, that is. Suddenly, farmers, state legislators, small-town granaries are planning to plant corn, build refineries, and move swiftly into an ethanol era. Now, if we could only discover a nation that is using hydrogen to power their... Wait, this just in. Iceland announces a conversion to a hydrogen economy. I repeat, Iceland is building a hydrogen economy. Perhaps next week I can report that local, state, and federal agencies have committed their full resources to complete energy independence and a solar hydrogen future. One has to wonder what's being discussed on the Nature News channels in Florida, as it seems alligators have almost overnight decided that humans make great snacks. This past week, three women were killed by alligators in Florida by three different gators, one while jogging, one while snorkeling, and one was indeterminate. This sudden rash of gator attacks is stunning, as only 17 attacks have occurred in the past 58 years. Speculation has it that due to the drought this past year in the Everglades, which decreased the available water routes, coupled with an ever-increasing human population that impinges on historic gator territory, tensions between the competing populations for habitat are on the rise. Florida residents are encouraged to keep away from gator territory in mornings and evenings when gators are most active, and to keep their dogs on tight leashes. And another unusual story comes from Alaska, where an Idaho hunter shot and killed what he thought was just a good old polar bear. But when authorities happened to take a closer look, surprise, surprise, the animal was, in fact, a cross between a polar bear and a grizzly bear. Brown splotches of fur were intermixed with the white, but more amazing were the long claws, indicative of the grizzly, and an indented forehead, common in grizzlies, but very different from the straight forehead and muzzle of the polar bear. Final proof was provided when DNA tests proved that the bear's father was a grizzly and his mother was a polar bear. Many have tried to suggest that this most unusual union was somehow related to global warming, although no real correlation has been conjectured. It may just be a case of love at first sight between a towering mass of brown grizz and a beautiful, playful white polar bear female. Already, Disney studio writers are probably penning the story as we speak. The East Coast is experiencing the worst flooding since the 1930s. Rains have finally eased, but the danger remains. More than a foot of rain fell across New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and southern Maine between Friday and Tuesday, with up to 17 inches in some places. The heavy rains triggered the worst flooding in some areas since 1936, according to the National Weather Service. The month is only half over, but it already ranks as the wettest month on record in Concord, New Hampshire, and Portland, Maine. Heavy flooding is widespread throughout the region, and although the rains have subsided, now the threat is from the potentials for dams, many of which were built decades ago, which may succumb to the record rains and finally let go. If that happens, various communities could be hard hit by flash flooding. The town of Milton, Massachusetts, is on alert as the dam there is particularly vulnerable to rupture, which would send a 10-foot wall of water downstream. More than a dozen dams are being monitored. This problem is now into its second phase. The question on everyone's mind these days seems to be, is this the way it's going to be from now on? Whatever the future brings, you'll hear about it here each week on the Wild Side News. And that's the news. And a reminder that when you have breaking nature news in your world, contact me here at the Wild Side News at wildsidenews@cox.net. That's WILDSIDENEWS at COX. So now we get on with today's feature. A number of years back, I was living in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and I was invited to a very private, almost secret briefing by a well-known New Agey guru type. And he was talking about the fact that we were heading into an age in which change was going to be happening at an accelerating rate, and that humanity would be forced to either accelerate with these new energies to survive, and that there would be many, literally millions around the world, who would not be able to adapt, and that they would therefore perish. Quite frankly, I was shocked to be told that this was our future. I quickly felt a kind of anger welling up inside of me, because I'm one who truly believes in the power of free will, and the hope and dream that humanity is wise enough collectively to do the right thing and make the changes necessary in time. I still hold on to that vision, and it's in that spirit that I bring you a special message from a people's collective of voices known as Ann Smith. Ann Smith is the Everywoman. She is mom, worker, retiree, social worker, wife. She lives in Maine and Florida, Texas to Washington, and everywhere in between. And with the sudden massive increases in gasoline prices, the Ann Smiths of our nation are having to live with these challenges, and as moms and workers adapt to these changes. So now we hear from Ann Smith, actually 13 Ann Smiths, as they share their thoughts on the increasing challenges of life in an oil-addicted society.
I'm my only family. All my kids are grown, but I'm a home health worker, and they do pay me mileage, and that used to be a pretty good deal, but right now we're getting close to just breaking even.
Yeah. Now, how much are you paying for gas right now in Maine?
$2.85 at one place in Blue Hill, about 20 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
And here on Deer Isle, it's $2.95.
You use your car then quite a bit in your work.
Yes.
And then, of course, in your regular life as well. How is this affecting you? Is it affecting you? Maybe it's not.
Well, everybody's a little bit broker than they used to be. Well, we're going to an Andre Rieu concert in New Hampshire next week, and the price of gas is going to be quite a lot higher than it was last year.
So are you finding yourself thinking twice before hopping into your car?
Not to go to an Andre Rieu concert. That will go, even if it's, more than this. Other than that, our home heating oil. That's outrageous.
Well, talk to me about that. What do you now?
Thank God we had a warm winter.
In Maine, of course, you have really tough winters. I grew up in Minnesota. I remember
same thing.
Yeah, exactly. When home heating oil was probably 26 cents a gallon. And we thought that was exorbitant. Of course, that was a long time ago.
A year or two ago, we thought 99 cents a gallon was outrageous. Now it's well over a dollar. I think it was close to two. And I just pay it off little by little.
Mm-hmm.
I just pay the bills as they come in and hope I have enough to do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, how about other people in your town? Are they talking about the price of gasoline?
Everybody. I think all over the country we are. Everybody talks about the price of gas.
And what are they saying? What are you hearing?
Everybody's talking about it. Nobody's doing anything about it. We all talk about the guy who's retiring with all these billions of dollars from Exxon and... we keep saying it's pure politics. Old George has to fill his pockets before he's out of office. Basically, we're blaming it all on Bush because we blame everything on Bush.
Well, someone's got to take the blame here because something's going wrong, you know. I mean, I'm going to actually make calls to refineries and gas stations and try. I won't get to the bottom. No one ever has.
No, you won't get an honest answer.
No.
It's pure politics.
Yeah, well, that's what it is, and that's why we never get to the bottom of it. Everybody kind of knows, I think, instinctively what the truth is. There's people making a lot of money, lot of money, and they have friends who control the spin, and that's kind of how it works, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This all has happened since Bush has been in there and has the war going and everybody's getting killed off. It's none of the political people who have people over there.
Are your friends speaking a similar language?
Everybody. You know, how this man ever got elected is amazing because I haven't heard anybody who thinks he's doing a good job.
Maybe we can do it right next time, whatever right is.
I don't know. These people go to Washington with great ideas, but then they get into the system, and I don't know.
Well, listen, Ann Smith, thanks for giving your thoughts here on the Wild Side News. Hopefully we'll have some sort of break, but, you know, I kind of doubt it because we're heading into the high-priced gasoline as summer approaches.
Right.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
When those wedding bells are ringing and your friends the rice are flinging, in your Chevy you'll be winging. Get away from everything in.
Basically, it's not affecting me. It's affecting me and it's not affecting me in that I'm retired. Now, if I was still working like I was a couple of years ago, it would be greatly affecting me. But thank God I'm retired, so I can pick and choose when I go out. But when I go out, I have to plan, whereas before I didn't have to plan. Am I making any sense?
Absolutely. I think what you're saying is it costs a lot more to get around these days.
You know, if I decide to go somewhere, I have to plan what other activities I can do to maximize my use of gasoline. Whereas in the past, I used to just, you know, go someplace and come back. So now I have to say, okay, let me do 4 activities today versus just doing 1.
Now, what are you paying for gas today?
The last time I went, I saw gas, it was $3 and... I mean, like $3.20-something. You know, the last time I was at the gas station.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what I do now, I don't let my tank get that low. And maybe it's just psychological.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something psychological about the huge amount at the pump.
Now, are you driving a small car, middle-sized car? Or?
No, I drive a luxury car.
Mm-hmm.
I drive a Lincoln Town Car.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose you're getting about, what, 10 miles to a gallon or something if you've checked.
I really don't pay attention to how much, but I know that one thing, I don't let my tank get down to empty or half a tank. I used to get my tank down to a half a tank and then fill up, but now I do it at a quarter of a tank.
So does that mean that there's some days that normally you would have been out driving and you're deciding not to?
You know, the best way to describe this is that I'm originally from Southern California, and I just moved here 2 years ago, so I really don't know the area that well. And so if I was still in Southern California, I would be out driving because I know the areas and I know where I would want to go. Here, because things are not as convenient as they are in Southern California, I have to drive further distances.
Now,
for example, if I wanted to go shopping for clothes and stuff like that, I have to drive all the way to D.C. or to Virginia to just go to the stores that I'm accustomed to, whereas when I lived in L.A., I only had to drive 7 or 8 miles. So I tend to plan my trips shopping versus whereas if I thought about it, I needed something to go, you know, something to add to my wardrobe, I'd just run on, I'll pick it up and come on back home. It's more than a notion when you have to drive 20-something miles just to go to a store that you're accustomed to shopping to.
So do you think you're having to be concerned more about the extra added cost? In other words, is that affecting how you use your car, or are you just going to continue to accommodate?
Well, it is extra cost of using my car because, see, the money I spend on gas, I could be spending on something else.
Now, what are your friends talking about? Are they talking about it in Maryland there?
The people I know are talking about the high gas costs. My friends in Southern California are talking about it because it's higher there than it is here. And these people I know throughout the country are talking about the high cost of gas, and they think it's artificial and they think it's ridiculous.
Anyone talking about who they think is what's causing the high gas prices?
Well, they just think it's greed, and that is, you know, it's greed on the part of the gas companies, and they're looking at the current administration, thinking that the current administration gas wasn't that high until this administration came into office, and they really don't trust the vice president.
Well, that's pretty common sense right now. I think we all kind of have that feeling. It's just now really being discussed more openly. I would guess there was a time when you weren't talking like that.
Oh, yeah. You know, when I worked in Los Angeles, I drove from the valley to the harbor in the same day. Or, you know, from downtown L.A., I would drive out to the valley, then come back and drive out to the harbor. It was no big thing. If I was living in Los Angeles now, I would have to think about it.
Well, I want to thank you. I'm just calling Ann Smith across the country, and you're in I'm not going to say your town.
Echo Creek.
Well, I'm not going to say it, unless you want. Is that all right? Can I say Echo Creek? And then people.
It's not Echo Creek. It's Echo Creek.
Oh, that's right. It is Echo Creek, isn't it? Well, where is that?
It's about 25 miles outside of Washington, D.C., and maybe about 15 miles from Alexandria, Virginia.
Mm-hmm. How big a population?
You know, it's not very big. You know, when you put it in perspective, when you look at the whole state of Maryland and put it in perspective to the total population of the city of L.A., the total population of Maryland is smaller than the city of L.A. and the county of L.A., so it's relatively small.
Do you think
it's a different lifestyle.
Do you think you're going to be able to Well, it sounds as if you're not going to be radically impacted by the cost of gasoline.
No, because I'm retired. But if mm-hmm. I was working, I would be traumatized.
Mm-hmm. Well, for example, when you were working, do you have an idea of how many miles per week you'd be driving?
Well, the nature of my job had me out a lot, but the city provided me a car, so it really didn't have an impact on me. Mm-hmm. But I used to drive 8 miles to work in the city of L.A., but it was stop-and-go traffic. And in other words, it took me 45 minutes to get to work in L.A., and it takes me 45 minutes to drive 40 miles here. And so when you're stopping and going, you're burning more gasoline. So I think it's the difference of the the impact of a huge population versus a smaller population as to how much gasoline you use.
Mm-hmm. Do you think we're going to ever see lower prices again?
I don't think they're going to go down under $2 again.
Mm. No.
You know, I remember when gas, I hate to say this, but I remember when gas was 55 cents and 39 cents.
Well, I can actually remember 19 cents.
I remember when we had to stand in line in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when gas went to $1. It's just that I just don't think it's going to go below $2. I would hope it would go down.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, even though I may not be financially impacted, I think about the people who are moderately to low income working and barely making it.
That is where it really hurts, because I think about that too. I go to the gas pump, and there's a look on people's faces now that I see when they're at the gas pump, and it's like, please stop, just stop. They can't. It's $30, $40, $50 to fill up your tank, and if you're working for minimum wage, you know that's a day's work.
Well, if you're working for minimum wage or a little above minimum wage, it has a tremendous impact. And people, it's just like, I used to work with seniors in L.A., doing public policy as it relates to senior programs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about how seniors used to have to make decisions between the cost of a prescription drug versus eating. Now you have average Americans making those kinds of decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's something wrong with that.
And
whether you're going to eat or buy gas for your car so you can get to work.
Any ideas on what we can do to help change this, turn this around?
Well, until we get the present administration out, I doubt if much is going to happen. And then we need to look very hard at the people in Congress to see what they're doing, because I think they can do things to make these oil companies bring these prices down.
What's wrong with Congress?
They're not in touch with real America.
Well,
I think they have just totally lost touch.
Well, they don't seem to be asking any real questions.
Well, they don't seem to be, really talking to their constituents.
Mm-hmm.
They need to come home, spend a week, go out in the community and talk to their constituents, hold some public hearings to find out what really is bothering the people that they're supposed to be serving, rather than giving them lip service talking about what they're going to do. Oh, yeah, because the next election, I'm going to be looking very hard at how, even though I don't know most of the politicians here in Maryland because I'm relatively new to the area, but I'm going to be looking at their voting records on certain issues.
Hmm. Like what issues?
One, how they vote on the economy, how they vote on immigration, what their opinion is on this war that I think we should not be in, that's causing things to go up, how they're dealing with the hurricane issues down in Katrina, the issues that really impact people. Like I said, I may not personally be impacted by some of this stuff, but being a social scientist and having spent years working with people and trying to create new programs and things for people who lived at poverty or right above it, I have to be concerned about those people. You know, I have seen people barely make it. And this economy, I don't know how people are making it.
It's a little scary to think about our future in some respects, because I don't know how we're going to get through this. At times, I wonder, because there's so many people who they're going to hit bottom.
Well, I think about my grandkids and being able for them to go to college, where it's one semester in college for them will be more than what my parents had to pay for a 4-year education plus a graduate degree.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to look at what are we doing to make life better for people in this country, and it don't seem like we're doing anything.
Well, you have to wonder who's in control and why that is, because quite honestly, we're supposed to have a real democracy here, and for some reason, maybe we've failed. Maybe in many respects we've failed not to really ask our own tough questions of people. What do you think about that?
I agree. You know, there were issues when I lived in Southern California that when a politician came out with the issue that represented me that I didn't agree with, I went to the polls and exercised my right. But I think a lot of people just vote for the status quo. They don't really think when they go to the polls.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to get real information these days because it seems as if the press seems to have its own prejudice.
Yes, but you have to look at all the stations, and then you come up with your own consensus,
mm-hmm.
like I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I watch various shows and then read the newspaper, and then I decide what's right and what's wrong.
Who do you think is telling the truth these days?
Well, I think CNN gives you the better news,
mm-hmm.
and that's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm. It takes, you know, we have to stay conscious and stay tuned, you know? Yeah.
And being in California, you know, if people in California, if they don't like who's governing them, they'll get them out of office one way or the other.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Acokeek sounds like it's a bit of a small kind of a rural town. How'd you ever choose to move to Acokeek?
Well, my family is basically, I grew up on the East Coast.
Uh-huh.
And then I decided that when I retired from the city of L.A., I would move back to the East Coast, and I was looking for housing, and I happened to go on the Internet and find this development in Acokeek. I had never heard of it.
And is it working for you?
Yeah, I'm close enough to D.C. where I could go and have a big city life and still live in a small community where there's not a lot of pollution, not a lot of traffic, and a little calmer and a little quieter than living in a large metropolitan city. I lived in a large metropolitan city all my life.
So the rural life is working for you. It's making you feel a little more at peace?
Oh, I'm calmer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've driven in L.A., you drive in the traffic for one day and you... Your nerves are bad.
I spent 40 minutes going one block just the other day up in L.A.
So you know what I mean. So now I can drive 40 miles in the same amount of time it took me to go 8.
Well, listen, Ann, thanks so much. I'm going to edit this down a little bit, and this will be then webcasting on the Wild Side News. That's actually wildsidenews.com on Thursday. And I so much appreciate your thoughts.
Well, thank you.
You bet. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We hear from our next guest, Ann Smith, when your voice of the earth continues here on the Wild Side News.
Traveling east, traveling west, wherever you go, Chevy service is best. Southward or north, near place or far, there's a Chevrolet dealer for your Chevrolet car.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Then dying coral reefs pushed us hard. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sidney Wildsmith.
People are getting upset. Life in America is changing. In many respects, it's changing dramatically. When we return, we're going to keep heading west, following the sun, as we crisscross the nation in search of the wisdom of Ann Smith. Don't go away. The whole world is suddenly trying to figure out how we manage to share what we have. And as with the story of the alligators in Florida, things are getting a little tight. Our explorations with Ann Smith continue.
What are you paying for a gallon of gas these days?
$3. About $2.97, $3 for regular.
Uh-huh. Now, are you a regular driver?
I use regular. I didn't before, but I do now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And have you noticed that you're having to change your life in some way to accommodate these high gas prices?
Well, I haven't because I've always been somebody who's used mass transportation until I moved to Florida. I have a 91 Saab that now only still has 55,000 miles. So I'm somebody who, but Florida does not have mass transportation. So I usually catch rides with people or I drive and I fortunately can work out of my home. So I don't have, I don't have a major transportation need to use my car a lot.
Right. Now, how about some of your friends in the area there? What are they talking about these days?
Well, I also am an advocate for the farm workers here in Immokalee, and, they have trucks and transportation, and it's devastating for them, very devastating for them, because they just, they don't make a decent living wage anyway, so with the price of gasoline so high, it's very, very expensive. And there's very little, again, mass transportation here. There's not a bus service. So people are dependent on their cars. So it's a hardship.
At some point here, I imagine we're going to start to see the effect of the gasoline on prices for food and other things. Do you kind of see that beginning to be talked about down there?
I haven't heard it too much, but I can't imagine it not happening, that there will be a ripple effect, yes.
Since you're working with the farm workers, how are they managing?
It's very, very difficult for them because, they, as I said, there's no mass transportation, so they have to use their cars. And some of them have trucks, and most of them have automobiles that, they can't afford to buy new automobiles that are good on gas. So they have a lot of cars that just use a lot of gas, and they don't have the wages. So it's going to be very, very difficult for them.
Now,
a lot of them are going to bicycles again, but still, some are going long distance, and it's very dangerous here because we don't have good bicycle roads.
Well, for example, a farm worker, what do they expect to take home in a week?
They get, let me see what it is. They're paid by the, it's piecemeal, so they're paid by the pound. And what do they make a week? I'm sorry, I really don't know, but it's mostly below minimum wage, except for those ones that can, work very, very fast in the hot heat. So we are actually working on getting them a penny more a pound for tomatoes. I'm ready to boycott McDonald's. We won a boycott against Taco Bell. They said, they hadn't had a raise in 20-some years or something. So it's a very difficult situation down here. Their living conditions are very, very difficult and working conditions.
Are these primarily migrant workers? They're kind
of
moving
with the crowd. Second and third generation. Some are migrant workers. Some come here. But, they are migrant workers, so they will follow the crop. And our season here is, they will now sometimes will take the tomato, they follow the crop for tomatoes is just finished, I think, and then they will move up. But about two-thirds of them leave. It's called Immokalee. It's a town outside of Naples, Florida, in the southern part here, and they will follow the crop like watermelon, cantaloupe, whatever needs to be picking. And the others stay because there's enough to stay, and they work in. Their housing is owned by pretty much one person, and the housing they pay for a trailer, a lot of times without air conditioning, is $200 a week.
Oh, my gosh. Well, if you figure they're making maybe $300 a week total, and then $200 on top of that, and then if they're spending $30, $40, $50 on gas, I don't know how they eat.
No. When you come, if you ever were to visit here and go out to Immokalee, which represents about six different countries, Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, Haiti, it's quite a unique place, but you'll also see severe poverty and just working conditions that you can't imagine exist in the United States. When you see them coming home from the fields, they're covered, absolutely covered with this green kind of paste from fertilizers and chemicals. Which, of course, is not good for your body either.
Yeah.
So, who wants to work in this heat? Uh-huh. They should be getting paid more. So there is a whole whole alliance now for fair food and looking and trying to raise the prices and help with the working conditions. That would make life better for them. They're doing the work that most of us would never even think of doing. right?
Well, there's a price we're going to pay for that, and we need to start thinking about that. A lot of people are trying to speculate about what is behind these incredible prices on gasoline. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that they don't have to be this high, that right now there still is enough gasoline, and in the we know that the oil companies will be making a huge profit off of this. My frustration has been that there has not been money put into, by our government, frankly, into alternative fuel. I mean, I've been in Brazil many times, and they operate all their automobiles on methanol. They don't have the pollution that the most third world countries have. And, I mean, why haven't we done this years ago? So that's my frustration.
Why do you think?
Because of, I know why. I mean, it's the automobile industry and the oil industry have the huge, I mean, they are our government. They run our country.
People are certainly beginning to say that a lot, whereas they weren't prepared to say so before. But, you know, it gets frustrating because these are supposed to be American companies, and at times it seems as if they're working against us because there's a lot of competition in the world right now. As these prices continue, we're getting to the point where we really can't compete in the world anymore.
No. And I think the other thing why Americans are getting so angry is that these, you know, our economic system was based on what's best for the community. That's what it was based on, not a lot for a few people. It was never based on that. And when you look at them, why would the oil companies, why would they make so much money when people right now, and it's not spread throughout our country, where the oil prices to go up as much as they're going, to not find alternative fuels for us. You know, I think the questions all have to be asked, and why is our government allowing this? Why is our government allowed for the oil companies to rule us?
Are you expecting oil prices to, gasoline prices to increase now as the summer rolls around? Does that happen in your area there?
No, I think they will increase. And I have to say, one advantage of them increasing, and I can say that because I'm a middle-income person, and so it's not going to hurt me. I don't feel that way for the people who this is really hurting. It's the only way we're going to stop and think about how much fuel we do use, and how much money, I mean, how often we do drive our cars when we shouldn't be driving our cars, and why we should be investing in taxes that go for mass transportation.
It's very interesting because what we're finding as I talk to people is they're really changing their lifestyle all of a sudden. They're just not hopping in their car and going places, or if they have two or three tasks that normally they kind of do something, come home, do something, you know, and ride around again. They're saying, let's take care of it all in one trip. And that's just wise use of the resource.
See, I think that's the benefit that's going to happen out of this. And I think people then will also start saying they want to get a hybrid car. They're not going to get a gas-guzzling car. And we've gone how many years in this country, and we're the only country, I think, in the world that has not looked at conserving the energy. And we're known as the biggest, you know, spendthrift of energy and into the whole thing of the global warming, and it will hopefully make Americans be a little, that all of us as Americans will be more responsible of how much energy we do.
Well, that certainly is the upside, isn't it?
That is the only upside, probably.
I think you're right there.
You know, I think once when the gas prices are up, then people will look at alternatives, and that's the good part.
Well, Ann Smith, I want to thank you so much for giving your thoughts about gasoline prices, talking to us from Florida.
Thank you.
Hi, Ann. Welcome to the Wild Side News.
Thank you.
You're calling from Georgia. Tell me, first of all, is gasoline on your radar screen these days?
At this time, today, when I was coming home from work, I filled up for $274.9 at a racetrack, which is the cheapest that I had seen it. But I don't go any place. I try to make all my stops going back and forth to work. Like I said, I'm a senior citizen, 73 years old. I'm still working. And I think that the price of gas is a ripoff to everybody in the entire country.
How many miles do you travel to work and back?
It's 15 miles there and 15 miles back.
Now, have you noticed an increase, a reasonable increase in the amount of money you have to pay each week for gas?
Oh yes. And here in the territory that I live in, it fluctuates 1 week it'll be $265, the next week $274, the next week $284. At this point in time, all of them are $284 and $289, except racetrack today was $274.
You snag the bargains when you can, don't you?
Yes.
Is this cutting into your lifestyle? Are you having to make accommodation to these higher prices?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You do with food and everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to cut back on something to pay that type of price. Like I said, I have to work to make a living. I can't live on Social Security. It's a very sad situation.
Well, here's a question for you. I'm also trying to get people's opinions on what they think is causing all these high gas prices.
Our government. Well, absolutely, the government is, and the reason I can say that is because there is no point in this world that we cannot have our own gas from this country. If we do so much for all the other countries, it is unreal that we are paying the prices that we are paying. We don't need to be getting gas from other countries. I'd rather do without a lot of things and never buy gas from another country.
Now, your car that you drive, is it a small car?
Yes, I drive a Ford Focus.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're doing the best you can then.
Absolutely.
That's not a big car at all. That's a little tiny car.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, now, as you look into the future here, I mean, how do you see this affecting you in the long term? I don't think prices are going to go down for a while.
Well, I don't worry so much about me because I've already gone over the hill and I'm going out. But my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren, I worry, you know, what's it going to be like? Because it don't seem to, the pay scale does not seem to be going up.
That's for
and
sure.
And so what are they going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I don't worry so much about me, but mm-hmm. I do worry about them.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you know some people who it's really impacting in a big way?
Other than the senior citizens and the people, you know, the very poor people
mm-hmm.
who don't, you know, they don't have the knowledge to get out and maybe do, even if you're going to have to work two jobs to make a good living just to feed your children and whatever, you still are in trouble because you're working that job just to pay your gas.
Did you think it would ever come to this? You're 73.
Did I, in my lifetime, uh-huh. did I ever think I would see this?
Uh-huh.
I did not.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the change from a earlier vision of what it meant to be an American to where things seem to feel right now. It's unique for every person.
I can remember as a teenager when I started to learn to drive, gas was like 36 and 39 cents a gallon. So did you, you know, and as you get older, you know, it's like, it's just amazing to me that within the past 4 years, the price of gas has gone up so high. I don't see any reason for it. I really don't see the reason for it. Because all the big executives and the government people, they're all making big bucks. They all have a large income. I say if you're an oil executive, and I'm not that smart a person, or I wouldn't still be working at 73, as you can understand. But I say if you have an oil executive and he's making over $100,000 a year, he's making too much money. That's another thing that's wrong today. Everybody should be allowed to make an equal living. And yes, people who do jobs that are dangerous maybe should be paid more, you know. But I still feel that something is wrong. Something's very wrong this day and time.
You hear stories about ethanol. You hear stories about solar energy. What do you think about those as alternatives?
Solar energy, I think that would be the greatest thing in the world.
Wow.
I also think about nuclear energy, you know, nuclear power and things like that. That would be great. I don't see anything wrong with people developing along that line. And for automobiles, they should be developing something other than the gas and oil.
Well, Ann Smith, you're doing a great job right now, and I appreciate your keeping at it and buying a Ford Focus and doing the best you can and sharing your voice here. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big four, big, 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 and lots of room for all the stuff you're bringing in. Excellent for exploring it.
For more driving fun like this, visit your Chevrolet dealer. Go for a pleasure ride. When you do,
we're talking with Ann Smith, who is from Kentucky. So tell me about how the increase in gasoline is affecting you.
Terribly. I'm a single mother, and I'm on a fixed income, and it's killing me.
What do you mean, killing you?
Well, I mean, it just keeps going higher and higher. Then they'll drop it maybe 5 cents, and then when they raise it back up 20 cents.
What are you paying right now?
$2.75.
And now do you drive, use your car back and forth to work?
Yes.
And how far do you drive?
About 2-3 miles. I mean, I'm located right in town, and I don't work too far from, you know, from where I live. Mm-hmm. But I've got families that's in different counties that I have to go see, and I'm always traveling.
Yeah. You paying a lot more?
Yes. Last year it was only right between $1.99 and $2.05.
Yeah. So are you having to make changes in your life?
Sure.
What are you doing?
I've cut back on different things.
Like what?
My kids don't do as much as they used to.
Now,
I don't go and do things.
Now, your kids, they drive?
No.
No, so you have to drive them around.
Right. And they play different types of sports, so I drive quite often.
Are there some parents, perhaps, who are saying, I can't afford to take my kids to these games and things?
Yes.
I know, because I know a lot of, particularly single moms and others, are really stay busy, you know, driving kids around.
Right.
And what other kind of accommodations do you think you'll have to make?
I really don't know yet. I really don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it keeps going up, I may end up getting a bicycle.
That's good. Well, now, I don't mean to be personal, but how old are you?
47.
47. Well, you're still a kid.
I wish.
Yeah. That's great. Well, now, also, some people are talking about why these prices are so high. Why do you think they're so high right now?
I'm really not sure, but it's got something to do with the war. It's bound to. Or the rich are just wanting to get a whole lot richer, and the heck with the middle class.
That seems to be what a lot of people are saying. I've talked to a lot of Ann Smiths today, and that seems to be part of the consensus, you know. Do you think this is fair?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I really don't.
Yeah. I mean, because it seems as if a lot of people are giving up a lot more of their life just to get around.
Yeah. Well, then the bad thing is, you know, gas is going up, so all your groceries are going up. But then your pay doesn't go up.
Yeah. Now, are your friends talking about the increase in gas prices?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people that are talking about it here in town.
What are they saying?
Basically the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, the rich just want to keep getting richer.
Think we're going to be able to turn it around?
I hope so.
And if we don't, then what?
Well, like I said, I'll get me a bicycle.
And you're a great sport. Listen, I want to thank Ann talking to us from Kentucky. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
The fun, the fun.
The fun is in the knowing. The fun is in the going.
In the slim line, fresh and fine. Chevrolet.
The only thoughts I have about the prices are just outrageous.
Well, why do you say it's outrageous? Why is that? How is it affecting you?
Well, it's affecting me because I have to buy gas because I have to commute to work.
How far do you commute?
About 23 miles a day.
That's a lot.
Yes, it is.
And what are you paying for gas right now?
The cheapest gas is $3.07.
That's a lot. That's a lot. A lot of people are paying less than that. I'm in California. I'm paying $3.42.
Oh.
You know, that's
yes. It'll be there by summer here.
Well, I'll tell you something. When it finally hits that, and you look at you watch the numbers going by, it scares you.
Yes.
It's $3.304. I could handle that, but $3.50, $3.42
mm-hmm.
is tough. Well, now, how is this affecting your life in reality?
Well, I just cut back on other activities. If we go to the mall, we try to get four or five of my girlfriends to go together. So so we can ante up on the gas prices. I don't do as much mauling and loafing. When I go to the store, the grocery store anywhere, I try to map out my plans, what direction I'm heading in.
Well, that's kind
do
of
all the shopping and to go to the grocery store, the cleaners and everything, you know,
mm-hmm.
a certain radian of the gas prices. I just can't just travel at random anymore.
Probably spend a little more time at home.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
And that's maybe not such a bad thing.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But on this thing, don't complain now because it may, before it's over, we'll hit $5 or $6 a gallon. So
yeah.
You got to have it.
Well, a lot of people are trying to figure out what's behind all this. Any ideas?
I don't have the slightest idea, except for I wish I had some stock in Mobil and Texaco and some of them other oil companies.
They seem to be doing very well
They're
right
doing
now,
great.
Don't they? Now, how about some of your friends? Are they talking about this problem?
Oh, yeah. They're even talking about getting smaller vehicles when they purchase another vehicle. And the same complaint you hear at work, you hear that all over.
Now, you know, some people who are really hit by this, maybe some elderly or people who are struggling just to meet the bills?
Not offhand.
Yeah,
no.
Not yet. Thank God for
right.
that, huh? Well, if prices don't go down, what are your long-term plans?
Well, I'm driving a Chevy Malibu now. I have to go to something even smaller and do more walking if possible.
Maybe that's a good thing.
Yes, it is.
That's very interesting. Do you expect that at some point here in the future the price of our goods and services is going to start going up to accommodate these higher prices?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, that's going
yes.
to be the hard side, I think.
Right.
I mean, it's one thing that...
Trucks, the airline, everything is going up. We thrive on gasoline.
Yeah, that's going to be where it's going to start to hurt a little bit. It's one thing
yes.
to accommodate to the high price of gasoline, but when bread and donuts and
right.
beer and potatoes go up, you know, I mean, that's going to start hurting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, I'm just calling Ann Smiths all over the country.
Okay, great.
Thank you so much, Ann.
Okay, and have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Now we're talking to Ann Smith from Minnesota, not one of the big towns, a smaller town in Minnesota. Ann, welcome to the Wild Side News.
Thank you.
Well, Ann, do you drive a car?
Yes, I do.
And do you use that car in your work, or how do you use your car?
I use the car, my car, to get to and from work, yes.
Mm-hmm. And you'd have to commute some distance, or...?
Yeah, I would say it's about 20 miles one way.
Well, that's interesting, because 20 miles... in a place like Minnesota, is pretty common, whereas in Manhattan, it's not, you know.
Uh-huh.
So the price of gas affects rural people, smaller town people, and I think in many ways, even more dramatically because of the commutes than in other places. How is this affecting you these days? What are you paying for a gallon of gas?
It's anywhere from, I think, $2.79 to $3, $3.02, something like that.
Mm-hmm. And how recently has this price really gone up?
I'd say like last Friday I started noticing it because there's a gas station right in the corner by my house, and there was a line of cars backed up on the main street. It's called Division Street that runs through St. Cloud, and they were backed up on Division Street, and I couldn't figure out why. I was coming home from work, and I'm like, what are they doing?
Mm.
And then I realized that the gas at this gas station was like $2.72 or $2.75 for regular unleaded, and the rest of the town it was up to like $2.95.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, now, so you lived through that shock. So what's happened since then? Are you starting to feel that as you go and fill up?
I have a small car. It's very good on gas. I get very good gas mileage. So I don't notice it that much. I used to drive for my job. I used to do home care where I drive from, you know, patients home to home to home. And we would get paid mileage, but it was just a set rate. And... you know, at this point, I don't know that, you know, the rate that they were paying would have really made it worth my while to keep driving from house to house to house.
Mm-hmm. Now, what kind of car are you driving?
I'm driving a Toyota Corolla.
Uh-huh. How about in your community there in St. Cloud? Are people talking about this change?
Mm-hmm.
What are they saying?
Well, you know, when gas went to $2.95, it was all over, you know, my work. Can you believe it's that much? Oh, my, you know, I can't believe it. You think it's going to go to $3 by Memorial Day weekend? And everyone's like, yeah, at least $3, maybe more.
Now, some people have got to start pointing fingers. In other words, you know, what's behind this? What's going on? Why are we suddenly hitting these new record highs?
Well, exactly. I think that's a good question. And then when oil companies are making, what, 40% profit or something? I mean, that I can't believe there's not more of an outcry. And, you know, gas prices for your car, but gas prices to heat my home, too. I'm actually very seriously thinking about putting my house on the market because I have an old house. And it cost me... Well, sometimes almost $400 to heat it this past winter per month, and I just cannot afford that. You know, it's ridiculous. And when I bought the house about 10 years ago, all the people I talked to, get a house with natural gas. It's going to be the cheapest in the long run, etc. So, and I don't know what's behind it. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of people don't, and we're all trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Long term, I mean, so you're, the price of your natural gas or heating, pick them in a place like Minnesota, that's a big expense every single month. You start
mm-hmm.
adding on the increases in gas. Now, there's some people I would have to assume are going to just reach a busting point where they just can't do it.
Exactly. Yes, I think it's a huge issue. And a lot of the people, and this is, as you pointed out earlier, it's kind of a rural area, and a lot of people that I've been talking to are considering going to alternatives like corn-burning stoves, things like that. And, you know, prior to the price is getting real high, it was kind of like, oh, well, yeah, I don't know, I'd consider. But now people are, I think, really going to be moving in that direction.
Did I hear you say corn-burning stoves?
Yes.
I've never heard of a corn-burning stove. What is corn-burning stove?
Well, just what it sounds like, you have to, like, okay, I come from a farm, so you grow the corn, and then you shell the corn, you get the little kernels, and then you dry it to a certain percentage, and I don't know what it is, if it's 15% or what, and you dry it so that it doesn't get moldy, and then you burn that. Either you can have a stove inside your house that you use just like a furnace, and you burn that to heat water, to run through your pipes or whatever, or you have it outside, and it sits in your yard, and you fill the stove up as you need it, and it heats your house.
This is a first, because I've lived off the grid and all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
I know at one point I used a wood-burning water heater, and that was
fabulous.
It's very
similar.
Yeah,
that's,
sure.
My understanding is very similar to that.
Yeah, but I've never heard, that's a great practical idea, because quite honestly, in places like Minnesota and throughout the Midwest, there's a lot of corn.
Yes.
Plus, corn, what do we call, cobs, okay?
Exactly.
And what do they do with those otherwise? Because I don't think they can use them in fodder. Or what happens to the corn cobs?
You know, I don't know. I suppose they could. I think they might use those for bedding. You can chop those or shred them and maybe use them for bedding for cattle or, you know, whatever.
But that's a great, I've never heard, that's a great concept. This is what's kind of fun, too, is with, as these things, as the price of gasoline goes up, unfortunately, it hits us all. But at the same time, there's some very creative concepts that start to crawl out of the woodwork. That's one I'd never heard before. That's great.
It is, and it's very clean burning. It's very cheap. I mean, well, you know, your startup costs, you're going to have some startup costs. But once you're going, it's kind of like wind power. You know, once you get that going, like you said, you're off the grid. You know, the power companies are paying you.
Well, I mean, have corn-burning stoves been around for a while?
Yeah, I'd say maybe the last 5 or 6 years I've really started to hear more about them. Huh. Yeah.
Now, do you know anybody that's used one?
Yes, I do. I have several friends who either had them installed in their house or they have them outside, the outside units. Also the wood-burning concept mm-hmm. where it's outside in the yard and you go out every day or whatever to fill it. But with the corn, you can set it for a whole week at a time to fill.
Really?
You know, based on your needs and stuff. Yeah.
Wow. That's fabulous. Well, there you go. There's a first. You're making international news. You've just changed the whole world out here because people are talking about corn for ethanol.
Yeah.
To produce gasoline, but now we have a source for heat.
Yes.
That's a great idea. Great idea.
Yeah.
Well, in a farming community, this is really, and I would call St. Cloud essentially a farming, a rural community.
Mm-hmm.
This has got to be tough on some of the farmers there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
I mean, fuel costs and that, I'm sure. I'm sure it's not something that they you know, would have planned on. I mean, you consider your fertilizer, your fuel, your seed that you have to plant and that, but I guess fuel was never a consideration when we were growing up. It just wasn't, you know, it wasn't a big issue.
Mm-hmm. Where do you see things going in the future? Do you look at alternative energy? Do you see that as a possible source, or what are your thoughts?
Well, I think we have to do something. I mean, I know me personally, I just can't keep paying that much, especially for my heating costs. And right now I have a vehicle and a job where I don't have to spend a whole lot on gas, but, you know, it's going to probably affect my travel plans. I don't want to really take as many road trips as I did in the past, and I wouldn't get another home care job probably for that reason. You know, I don't know. I think we are. We just have to start looking for alternatives.
There's so many angles that come out when you talk to people like yourself. I mean, for example, as you say, you wouldn't take a job as a home care worker. Well, mm-hmm. that's going to be kind of a universal feeling mm-hmm. for people in that quote-unquote industry or sector, you know, mm-hmm. that, well, this was a great thing. And plus, typically people who do that type of work don't get paid all that much up front anyway,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately. So they really can't absorb another hit. You know, with the increasing price of gasoline.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, great. You've thrown some interesting new concepts on the fire here.
Mm-hmm.
The corn burning stove. Very great. Ann Smith, I want to thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
You bet. And now we're moving over to North Dakota, and Ann Smith. Welcome to the Wild Side News.
Thank you.
You live in North Dakota. What are you experiencing now with the price of gasoline? How's this affecting you?
Well, it's about $2.85 or somewhere in that price range right now. Actually, I walk to work most of the time. We live in a small town, so it doesn't affect me quite so much. But we were planning a trip out to Boston and figured out that we'd be cheaper flying.
Isn't that something, though?
Amazing.
Well, that's too bad.
Yep, so it's actually going to take less time that way, but it won't be as much fun.
Yeah, I like to cross country and see this beautiful country. Now, your community is it a rural community?
It's a small town, I'd say. We're a very agricultural area, but we also have some industry here.
Right, well...
So the farmers are complaining.
Well, tell me what you can about what they're saying.
Well, they're just, you know, it's going to affect the price of their... When they're in spring planting right now, and it's going to affect the price of their... price per bushel that they're going to make at the end of the year because they're going to have to put more into fuel.
Right, and I can imagine for someone in the farming industry, a farmer, that's going to be a big additional cost to them out of their pocket up front.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. We've got some farmers here who farm 20,000 acres, and you know, that's probably the largest farm in this area, and they're really complaining about it.
Is this affecting them to the point where they're thinking about changing their careers, their professions?
Oh, I don't think so. Not in this area. Mm-hmm. These guys are pretty. Been farming for a long time, so
yeah.
I don't think they're going to be changing.
But obviously, they're going to have to pass along that cost.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you're going to see that in the price of grain down the road.
Hmm. Some of your friends, maybe people who are driving, are they talking about how this is affecting them?
I think more of them are, you know, cutting back trips and trying to combine things rather than, you know, we used to jump in the car and drive to the shopping mall, which is about 45 miles away, and I think people aren't doing that on a regular basis like they were before.
Yeah, you really have to think about it before you do something like that.
Yeah, you have to plan it because it's, you know, it's a little more expensive that way.
Exactly right. Now, how about are the schools in a rural area? You've got a lot of school buses heading out. Are you hearing any talk about how that's affecting their capacity to meet their budgets?
Well, locally, our school locked in gas prices last summer, but now when they have to lock them in for this summer, that's going to really affect the budget. Next year. And then our local college, also the fuel costs are up 9%.
Mm-hmm.
So that gets passed along to the tuition and students.
Now, what do you heat with in your home in North Dakota there?
I switched over to electric this year.
Is that more efficient?
Well, I think it was about the same, except I did it all natural gas last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I spent pretty close the same amount on electricity that I did this year, but I think the price of gas was higher, so I would have spent more if I'd stayed on the natural gas.
Well, of course, now everybody's trying to figure out why these prices are going up. What are your thoughts, and what are you hearing?
I'm not really sure. I think they should put the gas tax on like they do in Europe. I'm in favor of that and making people cut back on their driving.
Very interesting concept.
Raised a lot of money. I teach at the junior college here, and I had a student from Czech Republic, and he said, "Oh, gas over there is $4 or $6 a gallon, something like that."
So you're suggesting that kind of the concept that if the price is high enough, we'll start to really seriously consider something else.
Yeah. Well, then let's get our hydrogen fuel and, you know, and put all our money into that area. We are doing, we have ethanol plants that are going in North Dakota right now.
That's kind of interesting, isn't it?
It's very interesting, especially for our farmers up here, because they're growing a lot of corn to go into the ethanol.
Mm. You know what I actually heard someone say who's in that business, that he was taken aside by an oil industry executive who said, "Beware, we can lower the price of gas." Isn't that something? Yeah.
I'm out of business, but yeah, we've got one going in our county, and I think there's two or three slated within the 100-mile radius of here, because, of course, this is a big farming area, and much of the farmers will probably switch over to ethanol once it goes into production.
You mean in terms of use or actually producing the...
Well, in terms of use and, you know, producing more corn, they're definitely producing more corn right now.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, all the corn for this year is already spoken for.
Mm-hmm. Do you anticipate prices ever heading back down again, or do you think they're going to keep on going up?
Oh, they could go down, but they'll never go, you know, they probably won't go down below $2 a gallon again.
Mm-hmm. You see, you teach at a junior college.
Yes.
What are your students talking about?
Well, it's kind of what we call a suitcase college. We have dormitories, but the kids all go home on the weekends.
Yes.
And so past times, they drive 5 or 6 hours every weekend to go home on the western end of North Dakota, because we live on the eastern end. And there were more kids that were staying on campus this year.
Mm-hmm. They can't afford the gas.
They can't afford the gas.
Yeah, that's true. Interesting. Things are changing. I don't think we've begun to really figure out all the various changes. I see some actually positive things. I see a lot of people just really driving less, staying home a little more. There's going to be some changes in that arena.
Oh, I definitely think so. And like I said, both my husband and I walk to work, so we're very fortunate. We're not stuck in traffic, and we kind of like this part of the country.
I had the opportunity to do that at one point in my life, and it was actually the greatest lifestyle in the world. I felt like an ancient merchant getting up in the morning and just walking and getting a little fresh air and unlocking my shop, and it felt terrific.
Oh, it clears your head before you get there. So.
Exactly. Any other thoughts about the gas and oil and how this is affecting you and your community there?
No, I guess it's a fact of life. You just have to live with it, and who knows what's really going on. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all sorts of speculation, and the reason that gas is high is something beyond what I really know.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you hear people talking about? What's some of the speculation? I'm sure it varies quite a bit.
It's back to the OPEC and Iraq and all of that stuff, and, you know, those guys are trying to make more money, and then, you know, the gas companies themselves this year are getting so much profit. They're taking the profit and putting it back to the consumer. So
it's pretty obvious that that's happening.
Yeah, they're making money hand over fist. Mm-hmm.
Well, Ann Smith from North Dakota, I want to thank you for lending your voice here on the Wild Side News. Carry on.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye.
In just a moment, we continue the Ann Smith Dialogues. When your voice of the earth continues, here on the Wild Side News.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sidney Wildsmith.
We've moved along from Maine to Maryland, Massachusetts to Kentucky. We finish our journey as the day is ending, heading west with Ann Smith. When your voice of the earth continues, here on the Wildside News. As you head west in the USA, things open up. The sense of freedom rises with the sun each morning, lighting up the vast open spaces. And it just may be that for many in the West, the grand expanse is turning into a grand expense as people try to keep their lives and livelihoods alive and well, as the price of fresh oil continues to rise. The saga of Ann Smith continues. Now we're heading down to Texas, where we're talking with Ann Smith from Texas. Ann, welcome to the Wildside News.
Yeah,
let's talk about gasoline prices and how this is affecting you.
Well, I live in Abilene, Texas. I work at a golf course, which luckily the golf course is just right around the corner from where I live, which that was one of the things that I did was change jobs to get closer to my home. I also combined my shopping and try to do it all at once.
Now, is this something that you've made changes recently?
Oh, absolutely, yes, sir.
Yeah. When did the realization that the prices were really, really skyrocketing really hit you?
Probably about 2 months ago. Yeah.
What are you paying these days in Abilene?
It's, I think, $2.74
mm-hmm.
a gallon. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, prior to that, did you spend, were you more comfortable just hopping in your car and going places?
I was very comfortable, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And where would you typically go with your car?
I may go to the grocery store three times a week,
mm-hmm.
you know, or maybe up to the Tuesday morning or out to the mall or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I try to go to the grocery store once a week.
I guess that's not such a bad accommodation, is it?
Well, no. I mean, I'm adjusting. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not gonna kill us doing that, but no. It's an adjustment. That's right.
Yeah.
What are the kind of considerations are you having to make?
Well, I'm not getting out of the house as much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to the mall as much.
Mm-hmm. And how about your friends? What are they talking about? How's it affecting them?
Well, the same way. You know, I'm just lucky that I work right around the corner from my home, less than a mile. Whereas, none of my friends are that fortunate.
Well, what are they talking about then? How's it affecting them?
Well, just that, some of them live in a neighboring town, and it costs somewhere $6, $7 to come to work.
And that's a lot of dough.
That's a lot of dough. You times that five times, and that's $30 a week, which is, $120 a month, which is a major bill.
Yeah, it sure is, yeah. Well, what do you think people are going to start to have to do? You know, if a person isn't making a lot of money, that's a serious impact.
That's exactly what I've been thinking is, my goodness, how do some of these people afford this?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that, is heavier on my mind than anything.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, in Abilene, you probably have a lot of people who commute out to, there's oil and there's agriculture. They have to drive quite a ways to get to work and back.
Well, mostly it's the little towns like Clyde and Baird and Anson, you know, that come to Abilene to work.
Exactly right, yeah.
Yeah.
How do you think it's going to affect your larger community? What do you expect to see in terms of changes?
I expect to see prices go up.
That's kind of the bottom line, isn't it?
That's the bottom line, yeah.
And that's adding insult to injury, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that I think is going to be the hard part is
that
we're kind of trying to accommodate and making changes to deal with these higher prices. But,
yeah, and it's affecting every aspect of life about.
Yeah, are you seeing some increased prices already in your besides just the gasoline?
No, I haven't really noticed.
Yeah, but it's going to hit.
Yeah, it'll have to.
It has to. Of course, everyone's trying to figure out, why is this happening all of a sudden? What are your thoughts?
I don't know. I'm not a real political person.
Mm-hmm. You're
and I
lucky.
I think that's where it's at. He's on the political level.
Listen, I want to thank you for giving your thoughts and wish you great success as we try to make these changes.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, Ann, thanks.
Uh-huh, bye-bye.
Bye. We're talking to Ann Smith, another Texan. You're actually down in an area that produces a lot of the gas and oil. Ann, welcome to the Wild Side News.
Thank you.
Well, it sounds like you're a little dissatisfied with the price of gas, particularly because you're in an area where you produce a lot of the gas.
What do I think about the price of gas?
Yes,
I think we have too long not taken care of our own needs and relied on foreign oil, and now we're being hijacked by the foreign oil people. I don't think it's the oil companies. I think we have, in the United States, have allowed our environmental people to protect the places that we should explore for oil, and now we're paying the price.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this affecting you? Do you rely on your car, for example, to get back and forth to work?
Yes, I rely on my car. I have two teenagers, and I own a business, so we use our vehicles in our business, so sure.
Mm-hmm.
We have a four cars and four drivers, and we use a lot of gasoline.
I hadn't even thought about that, but four cars and four drivers, how much do you think that's you're paying extra these days for gas in a week?
Oh, I wouldn't know per week, but mm-hmm. I know it's up about 30% from what it was a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Now,
but so is my electricity, because mm-hmm. that comes from energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so my gas in my home is higher, mm-hmm. my electric bill is higher because that's powered by gas.
Mm-hmm.
So not only is it the stuff we put in our cars, but it's what we use to heat and cool.
Yeah.
Our electric energy has increased 37% from a year ago.
It's a little hard to take after a while.
Well, you don't like it, you know, because I'm better able to afford it than some people, but still, you really don't like paying 30 to 40% more than you were a year ago for something that you're actually not gaining anything.
You're in business. I think one of the difficulties is the way in which business can't really predict any longer where these costs, these extra costs, are going to come from. Are you finding that part of your challenge?
Well, I guess we sort of have expected everything to go up, but you don't expect things to go up 30, 40, 50%. You expect, you know, slow increases, and that's pretty much the way it has been. It's just our energy costs have gone up a whole lot
now,
more.
Now, share what you will about what you do in your business, and I'm just curious if you're a business where you'll have to pass those costs along.
No. It's a business where I really won't.
Mm-hmm.
I will not pass those costs along. I'm an insurance agent, and so we use my husband works with me, and we use both our cars and our business, but it doesn't affect the cost of insurance.
But you're having to kind of swallow the difference.
Sure, it affects my bottom line.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, what kind of accommodations are you making then to try to meet that? I mean, we just adapt.
We're not making any accommodations.
Yeah.
There's not a lot we can do about it. Mm-hmm. The kids still have to get back and forth to school. We still have to do our business.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, it might change some of our vacation plans. I know we've flown on several trips rather than drive, because you can actually still fly cheaper than you can drive, especially if it's one or two persons. But
now, I don't know what kind of vehicles you're driving, but some people are looking to hybrids and more economical vehicles. Is that something in your future?
It's not something I've actually considered. You know, right now the hybrids are such an experimental thing. It's probably not something down the road if they are, you know, if they're worked out and reliable, I might, you know, we might consider those, but it's not something I said, oh, gee, gas has gone up $1 a gallon, I'm going to run by me in a hybrid.
Right. So, now, how about how this affects your thoughts about alternatives like solar or geothermal or ethanol?
I think that we probably should have been thinking of that for a long, long time. I think that sometimes these ideas are able to be worked out, but our Congress, as they fail to do in anything, the people that we vote into office are more interested in getting reelected than doing the right thing. That's both parties. It's from local to highest office. And I think some of the ideas that have been available have not been explored or expanded, because doing nothing is easier than stepping out.
Do you think some of these kinds of concerns about energy and self-sufficiency will start to affect political decisions? I mean, your election decisions in the future?
I doubt it. Look at immigration. I mean, that seems to be a glaring issue probably for California, Arizona, Texas, and some of these other things. And, you know, that's another good example where our people who pass the laws are not willing to do anything that might hurt their chances on getting reelected.
Hey, here's a fun question. Let's say that you could just get one of these characters and knock them upside the head and say, look, this is what you need to do. What would you want them to pay attention to right now?
Yeah, well, release some of the offshore, allow some offshore drilling, allow some drilling in Alaska. You know, there are states and there are places where we have that available, but it has been tied up, and it would be great if we could live in a totally green world, but, you know, we can't. And the people that seem to think that it would be great not to do it in, you know, offshore or something like that, they're still using the fuel, but everybody wants, you know, the American people still want the best of both worlds, but, you know, I just really truly believe we have passed many laws that prohibit offshore drilling and drilling in places like Alaska that we have known now for 30 years that we're going to run short, that we do not have enough oil or gas to be self-sufficient. And when you do that and you're dealing with parts of the world that, you know, don't particularly care about us, they now have us where we don't have much choice, and we're paying the price for not doing what we should have done 30 years ago.
Now, of course, where you live, you got big open spaces and lots of sun. Are you starting to see anybody utilizing solar and wind in that area?
There are quite a few wind places where they'll put the windmills up, and they look really odd, but you know, that's a totally clean, reliable, renewable resource.
And so you're willing to accommodate to big windmills in your landscape, the unbroken Texas horizon line, for the purpose of achieving some sustainability.
Well, I wouldn't say that would be the only thing I would do, but
no, right.
Yes, I would be willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have more people and more needs for energy, so we're going to have to do something.
Mm-hmm. Well, and
sometimes you run out of best choices. You have to deal with second and third choices.
Well, I know you're trying to fix some dinner. And so, Ann, I want to thank you for lending your voice here.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Ann. Bye.
Performance is sweeter. Nothing can beat her. Life is completer in a Chevy. So make a date today to see the USA and see it in your Chevrolet.
Travel and ease.
We're talking now with Ann Smith from Oregon. It's a small town in Oregon.
Yes.
And I'd love to know what your thoughts are about how these gas prices are affecting you and your life.
Well, they're terrible, I'll tell you. I don't drive very much anymore just because of that reason.
Have you had to cut back then considerably?
Well, no. I've been letting others buy the things for me, and I give them a little bit of money,
mm-hmm.
you know, for gas.
Mm-hmm. But I can imagine it affects their capacity to...
Oh, definitely.
You know, I mean, you want to be generous, but I imagine you are considering paying them more.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, we have to do what they say. It doesn't matter what it is. If they send you a bill, you have to pay it, and it seems like the gas tanks is the same thing.
Do you drive a car at all?
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And what's the price of gas right now in your part of Oregon?
Well, it's almost $3 a gallon, probably a little bit more. I haven't bought any. I've been hesitating to fill my tank.
Well, it hurts to go to the gas station.
You bet.
I mean, I'm down here in San Diego, and I went in, and it was suddenly $3.42. And I'm telling you, you think $3 is bad. Wait till it gets that high.
I know.
It's hard. It is difficult. Well, so what other accommodations do you think you'll have to make to these kinds of gas prices? How is it affecting you?
I'm not doing much driving. I let others do it for me. And it's affecting everybody.
Do you have family that is talking about this?
No, I have a friend that works for me.
Mm-hmm.
And when she goes into town, we live 30 miles from the bigger town. We only have one grocery store here.
Well, 30-mile drive to get your food, I mean, that really increases the cost of a loaf of bread.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I know. I've been in that situation, and, you know, it's 10 to 20 bucks just to get back and forth.
Yes, that's how it is.
Mm-hmm. Now, how about some of your friends in your community there and neighbors? Are they talking about this?
They're all squawking, too.
What are they talking about? What are they complaining about?
Well, because we're not able to do the things that we usually do, like go for a short ride or go or do anything because of the prices of gas. It's just too high.
Now, you know, here's the kind of a positive side to this. It means you're going to spend more time at home. Maybe we'll start to spend a little closer time with our neighbors and our family.
Well, I have so many animals that it takes my time here. I don't have much time with my neighbors. Mm-hmm. But that's all right. They're good neighbors. But like I say, I don't do too much with them. I do my gardening and my animals, and I stay close to home.
Now, do you ever try to figure out why these prices are so high?
Yes, I just figure it's the government. They just want to put more money in their pockets.
Mm-hmm. And you think there's anything that we can do about it? Do you have any ideas on what we could do?
Well, there's nothing, because like I say, if they say that we have to do it, we have to do it. And I don't like that. Mm-hmm. I don't like it at all. It's like sending you a bill. Our water bill is the same thing. It's not what you use. They quote the price and you have to pay it.
Now, are you on a fixed income?
Yes.
Do you foresee a time when some of the, you know, everything's going up?
That's
when,
right.
When it's going to get a little too tight?
Well, it already is.
Mm.
But there's nothing we can do about it. I mean, that I know.
Well, are you going to have to, like, cut back on staples and food?
Well,
or?
That's true. That's what I'm doing now, is cutting back. I forgot about that, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not fun. That doesn't seem right.
No, it isn't. It isn't fun. It's not right at all, but what can we do?
Yeah, there you go. Well, another Ann Smith, thanks so much for sharing your thoughts here.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, Ann, thanks.
Spiders and Euphrates is a lot like hell. Go on and liberate my people and their oil. Get your big trucks rolling down Highway 9. Put on the armor, it's party time. Gonna dance with the devil of our own design. Get your big trucks rolling down Highway 9.
Now we're going up to Utah, beautiful, beautiful country up there, and joining us is Ann Smith. Welcome to the Wild Side News.
Hi, thanks.
Well, tell me what's happening in terms of gas prices and your life and your family and your community. We'll start out with, first of all, what are you paying for gas these days?
I just filled up yesterday at $3 a gallon.
How does that make you feel?
Outraged.
Why is that?
Well, my husband's a salesman.
Oh,
so
boy.
He travels all over the state, and we just paid $1,000 last month for our monthly gas bill.
Well, you're the first person who's given me that kind of a figure. Now, how much is that up? I mean, that's really got. Is he making profit from his sales? Does he have to eat that? Is he reimbursed, or how do
no,
you?
No, we just eat it. But it's probably up at least $300 from, you know, a few months ago when the prices were lower.
So you're making less money.
Absolutely.
And so, what does that mean for your life?
Well, we have to cut back in other places.
Like what?
Like eating out. Like the fun stuff that makes life fun. It hurts, but we can do it. I hear it's worse in other places. So.
Well, I'm in San Diego. It's $3.42, so enjoy it while you may.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, because I hear we're going up, too, so we may be there soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are you hearing? What are people talking about in your community there?
Well, they're just saying they're not going to go down till after Labor Day, so I don't know if that's the truth, but I haven't seen any relief yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine that by the end of summer, you know, our gas bill will be $1,300.
Now, for your husband who's driving around, is he driving a luxury car or kind of, you know, where does it fit the spectrum there of gas mileage?
Well, he drives a Mazda, which probably gets 30, but we actually are looking at getting him into something that does a little better and see if it can outweigh, you know, maybe the car payment or the cost of the car can outweigh the savings in gas.
Wow, well, 30 isn't bad.
No, it isn't.
Mm-hmm. What are you considering?
A Jetta, maybe like a diesel Jetta, even though a diesel's worse, but it's supposed to get, you know, 40 to 50 miles a gallon, so we've heard.
Well, it sounds like this definitely is having an impact on you. People are accommodating in different ways. What kind of actual changes are you making in your routines?
Well, just like I said, we eat out a lot, and we like to play a lot as a family. We like to vacation, and those kind of things are going to have to stop or be cut back significantly to be able to compensate for the gas.
I know a lot of Ann Smiths that I've talked to today have said they've, in the past, really enjoyed hopping in their car and taking trips and vacations.
Mm-hmm.
And
we have a cabin that's 5 hours away.
Hmm.
So that's one of the things that has to go.
You mean that you're going to not, you're just not going to go there, or you're going to literally get rid of the cabin?
No, we probably won't get rid of it, but we won't be visiting like we like to visit.
It seems as if we're kind of going backwards.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there are worse things, and there are people in worse shape than we are, so.
In your community there, are you seeing some people who are really, really impacted by this, people who are on fixed incomes, or?
I haven't heard of anything specific, but I know that everybody's complaining about it, so,
yeah.
I mean, it hurts everybody, but people like my husband who drive all day long, it really hurts.
Yeah, that's for sure.
He has no choice for his livelihood other than to drive.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, some people are trying to figure out what's behind all this. What are your thoughts?
I think that the government is using the war in Iraq as a good excuse to see this happen. But you know what? Maybe I'm completely wrong. It just seems like the war, although I support the war and what it stands for, it seems like that's just a good scapegoat for the price of the gas, and for the, maybe not the government, the gas companies.
Yeah, right.
Companies.
It's kind of interesting as I'm talking to people. Everybody first says the government, and then it kind of morphs into the oil companies.
Yeah. When I heard that, I don't remember which gas company now, but had record profits last, the third quarter and the fourth quarter of last year, I thought, well, of course they did. So that just tells me they're not really paying what they tell us they're paying. If they're having record profit years, then something's a little screwed up here.
Do you see any way for us to rectify these difficulties?
I don't know. If people quit driving, quit using the kind of gas that we're using, but like the president said once, we're addicted to it, and will anybody really quit?
How about alternatives like wind or solar or geothermal or ethanol?
I mean, I think that sounds great, but I don't know. The cost involved in doing it, I don't know. I haven't really thought that far.
No, I suppose this is the kind of thing we're going to have to start thinking about.
You're right. When I was a kid, I remember the gas prices being a dollar. And I remember my dad sitting us down and talking to us about only going to town once a day and that our family really had to conserve energy. And we did it. And I remember really working towards it as a family. You know, and I haven't put my family through that yet. So maybe if everybody did that, the oil companies would feel it and make some changes.
Now, do you have kids?
I have 4 kids.
And where are they in life?
17 down to 9.
Mm-hmm. So you do a lot of running around, then.
I do a ton.
You know, that's got to be tough.
It's tough.
Is it starting to really affect the activities for your kids and things, your considerations on their participation?
You know what? I haven't gotten to that point yet. We're more trying to cut out the, you know, the extra fun stuff. But you know what? If it keeps us up, we'll have to.
Mm-hmm.
And all the soccer practices and all that kind of stuff that we're doing is going to have to make changes.
I want to thank you, Ann Smith. So there's a lot of wisdom in the Ann Smiths.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Ann.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
We're
looking for a leader to bring our country home. Reunite the red, white, and blue before it turns to stone. Yeah.
truth is, life in America is just really changing quickly. Amazingly, it seems the rising price of oil is bringing on changes in our lifestyles, and the need to drive less and plan wisely, to think about energy independence, and shifting to a clean and sustainable energy future. This just may be the slickest gift of all. We may be heading backwards a baby step or two, and that just may be the first step towards a realistic future. This is Sidney Wildsmith saying adios until next Thursday or any time on the archives when your voice of the earth will call around the world here on the Wild Side News.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest land of all. On a highway or a road along a levee. Performance is sweeter, nothing can beat her. Life is completer in a Chevy. So make a date today to see the USA and see it in your Chevrolet.
Traveling east, traveling west, wherever you go, Chevy service is best. Southward or north, near place or far, there's a Chevrolet dealer for your Chevrolet car.
So make a date today to see the USA and see it in